Amen, Pastor Tyler and choir. Welcome and happy Easter. What a great joy it is to be here today. We've been on a journey, you and I. We called it the Pilgrim's Journey. It's lasted the whole of Lent. And throughout that, we've learned, we've grown, and we've experienced what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But we were always holding off on the best part until last. And that is today. Today, when we come to an empty tomb, and in ultimate victory, you and I cry aloud as one. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You know, it's in that moment of victory that sometimes we feel like the journey is over. At long last, we've come to a place where we can stay and we can rest and we can be at peace. But let's not mistake the tomb. The tomb was never meant to be misunderstood as a landing strip. Now, you've probably been on one of those. After a long journey across the ocean or across the United States in an airplane, you came to a welcoming sight when you knew that the plane was about to land. And as you lowered for touchdown, and finally as the wheels hit the ground, you breathed a collective sigh of relief. Finally, you have gotten to a place where you can get off of the journey. Finally, you have gotten to a place where you can rest and you can be at peace. But the tomb is not to be misunderstood as a landing strip. The tomb is a launch pad. And from the tomb, you and I are refueled, repurposed, and completely people who are reconfigured for the next brave frontier that is before us. Now, I'd like to take credit for this sermon idea. It's actually entitled Into the Great Unknown. And earlier this week, I was accused unfairly, I might add, of possible copyright infringement. Into the Great Unknown is what Idina Menzel sings in Frozen 2 and what has to be the ultimate subpar sequel of our time. Pastor Tyler, let's just agree to disagree, shall we? If you don't know that song, Idina Menzel sings out so beautifully into the unknown, and it's always captured with this little echo. How does it go? But to completely sidestep any trouble with Disney, Pastor here has pulled a ploy. My sermon title is Into the Great Unknown. See what I did there? And I can hardly take credit for it. Interestingly enough, it was back in this summer when I'm speaking with none other than Samuel Urban. He was just up here and was baptized as a brother in Christ. Praise be to God. And he's one who's studying about what it means to be an astronaut one day of all things. And so having just read this article, I said, Samuel, why in the world are we trying to colonize the moon again? You remember that? We've been there six times between 1968, 1972, to 238,000 miles between us and the moon have been done countless more times. Why are we bothering with this feat? And his answer was pretty amazing. He said, David, the moon is not meant to be a landing strip. The moon is meant to be a launch pad. From the moon, they want to send out manned astronaut crews that will go as far as Mars. And so while the moon is but a mere 238,000 miles, they use the moon as a launch pad to send people 33 million miles to the red planet of Mars. Now, you might think that this is something that is only in science fiction novels. This is beyond human grasp. But did you know that by next year in 2025, the moon will be colonized per NASA, and by 2030s, we are going to be sending from the moon manned spacecraft to the red planet of Mars. Now, that's what I call into the great unknown. That's like the tomb, isn't it? People gathered around it on that first Easter morning, trying to make sense of it all. The Gospel of Mark is very unique in its presentation. It's the only gospel in the entire Bible that doesn't have an added account of a visible sighting of the resurrected body of Jesus Christ until it was added later. In fact, everyone just gathers around the empty tomb. They hear the angel's voice and the message, and then it leaves them so terrified and amazed that they did not even say anything as they walked away. But what the angel says is something of note. When Marty read that scripture for us, he highlighted the following. The angel's proclamation said, "He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he has told you." That goes to show us once again that while the tomb was quickly becoming a landing strip for those who were gathering around it on that first Easter Sunday, the angel quickly gets rid of that rumor and says, "No, dear friends, Jesus is ahead of you already. If you want to encounter the resurrected Christ, you must go further in this journey still. But don't be afraid, because while the angel looked upon three women who were tired, who were grief-stricken, who were mourning, they give them the following hope, that as you go forward as a people who are refueled, who are repurposed, and or who are completely reconfigured. Now, that's three words I want us to hang on today. Refueled, repurposed, and reconfigured. Because we likewise are gathering around the empty tomb here at First Baptist Church. We would like to think that it's a landing strip, a time that we can get back to life as we know it, a time when we can rest and fall back into old ways of living. But that's not the point of Easter. It's not meant to be comfort food served up hot like the ham that you're going to enjoy for lunch here in just about an hour. Easter is to be a radicalization of your life. Something that sends you forward into the great unknown, a place that you've never lived or experienced before. But the promise is, as you go, you're refueled, you're repurposed, and you're completely reconfigured. Let's start with that first word, refueled. Can y'all say that aloud? Refueled. Hey, that's it. Refueled is something that those who were hearing the first Easter message needed so incredibly desperately. They were looking at their own strength and the thought of them going back to Galilee where the angel said, "Jesus is awaiting you," might as well have been the same as me telling you, "You're going to be on the first manned spacecraft that's going to go the 33 million miles to Mars." They did not think that the strength was in them, and in fact, it wasn't. Because to go back to Galilee meant to go back to the place where everyone knew them. Everyone knew them from childhood. Everyone knew their past lives. And everyone knew that for around 3 years, they walked around with a rabbi who said that he was the Son of God and would lead the way into a new kingdom. And they also knew that that same one who made that bold statement was killed on a cross. And that's not all. When his moment of most dire need came into the centerfold of human history, they took tail and ran. Like your hash browns at Waffle House. They were scattered, they were smothered, and they were covered. Gosh, I love Waffle House. They needed to be refueled. But when the resurrected Christ is always before you, and more importantly, when he always walks with you, you have an endless fuel supply. This would send them forward not only to Galilee, as later verses will tell. This will send them forward into the whole world, where there's no ministry that's too small and there's no challenge that is too big. And that same source of endless fuel is yours and mine. The resurrected Christ is ahead of you in your journey, but at the same time, he walks beside you, giving you the strength. His strength is perfect. When our strength is gone, it's an endless fuel supply. It's an endless source of encouragement when you have someone walking beside you every moment saying, come on, you can do it. Don't give up now. You're so close. Refueled. And then there's this one. Repurposed. Say repurposed.
Repurposed.
To go back to Galilee also meant that they were not going back to their former lives. Matthew was never going back to be a tax collector. Simon, Peter, and Andrew were never going back to be fishermen. They were going back as repurposed people. The old ways of living were gone. Their old failed way of thinking was over. Their failed attempts to try to fix it themselves were done. And instead, they go back repurposed now as eyewitnesses to the greatest story ever told. Boldly they go and they make headline statements in the Galilean Times. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now you want to talk about a tabloid that'll get beside you. That would be it. I like those tabloids, don't you? I kind of check them out side eye when I'm in the grocery store checking out. I don't want to pick them up because then people start saying, you know, he believes that stuff. But boy, they make for some great headlines. Bat Boy and, you know, all of that. It's pretty amazing. We lose the fact that when they would go back with repurposed lives and say Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it was even more radical than that. The difference is that this was ultimate truth. Not lies, not fictions, not funny stories to pass along. Real truth. And today on Easter Sunday, you too are being called to a place, but it's not the same place that you will remember. You're not the same person that's going back to the workplace on Monday. You're not the same person who's going back to school after spring break, students. You are going back as a repurposed individual, one who's going with the testimony, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, I'm not like the disciples. I'm not an eyewitness, but guess what? You don't have to be. Preserved in Holy Scripture and ever affirmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. You in your heart, you know, you believe with the utmost certainty, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And as much as you are willing to say it, I encourage you to likewise live it as such. That goes to that last point, reconfigured. Can you say reconfigured? That's my favorite point of this sermon. You know, a good pastor always knows you keep the best point to last. Pulls them back in. If you're snoozing, wake up. When the disciples go back, they got to do some admissions. They got to fess up to how they abandoned Jesus. They got to fess up to how they lost hope. They got to fess up to all the things that they said in an instant when death faced them, they tucked tail, they ran. But they also know this. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. While they have to own their shortcomings, while they have to own their defeat, while they have to own their moments in which they didn't meet it, they didn't match it, it no longer owns them. Reconfigured. Yes, they had to talk about the times when they didn't meet the standard. They fell short. Then they also say, in a way that's only due to the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, my story is that in spite of my failures, I am in ultimate victory with Christ Jesus. Now, there's someone here today that needs to hear that. You're struggling. This season in life that's been upon you, this journey, this pilgrim's journey, it's not been your favorite. You've been up against it. Maybe there were some opportunities for you to step up. You stepped away. Maybe there were some times for you to do right. You did wrong. And we can very easily find ourselves thinking, that's who I am. I'm a failure. I'm a screw up. I can't get anything right. Own it. But guess what, folks? It doesn't own you. The promise of resurrection hope is that, like those disciples, you in a reconfigured life can say, yeah, I did those things, but because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, my ultimate story is victory, now and forevermore. And no matter what happens, nobody or no one, not even the spiritual forces of hell, can strip that from me. In Christ Jesus, I am forever now and including into the future a victor in him. Now that sounds like a launch pad moment to me. It sounds like a moment in which people who gather around the thoughts of being refueled, repurposed and reconfigured, are ready to go into the great unknown. Now that doesn't answer the question of where that great unknown is for you. So that's why I'm going to ask you to do some thinking. I want you to intentionally, this Easter Sunday, if only to not allow for it to be just another landing strip, hey, good job, guys. Woo, Easter Sunday. See you next year. Peace. Hard work. If only to disallow it from being yet another landing strip where you kick your feet up and you say, the journey's over. Oh, man, that was hard. Whew. And instead, you let it become today, maybe for the first time in your life, and you've been a Christian for as long as you can remember, but for the first time in your life, it's a launch pad. Because now you see that the whole point of Easter is so that now the real journey begins into the great unknown, refueled like never before, repurposed like you never imagined, and reconfigured with a story that, trust me when I say that, the world is dying to hear. So where are you to launch from the empty tomb? That's question one. I want you to write that down. You got to be really specific when it's time for people to do some thinking. I want you to write that down. Where are you to launch from the empty tomb? And question two is this. Where is the living Christ waiting for you? For all of us, there's an answer to those two questions. He's somewhere on down the road. Maybe he's around your lunch table in just a few minutes. Maybe it's that person you need to ask forgiveness of, or you need to make peace with, or you need to, beyond anything else, before you say anything, you just need to say, I just need you to know one thing. I love you, but God loves you more. Maybe that's where God's calling you. Such a journey, I must tell you, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be terrifying. You're going to be like those women at the tomb. Excited as they were to hear Jesus rose from the dead, go tell his disciples that he's down the road in Galilee, just like he said. That's exciting news, but guess what? Living an entirely different life, using the tomb as a launch pad, not as a landing strip, that's terrifying. But one thing's for certain. You'll be refueled. You'll be repurposed. You'll be reconfigured. and you'll never look back on life, folks, regretting that you didn't truly live it. So can the countdown begin? We're launching. The scene is set. We're going into the great unknown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Boy, I hope I don't lose count. That would be really embarrassing. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Our God in heaven, into the great unknown we go. No longer clinging to the safety of a landing strip, but holding on to the dangerous new possibility that we are being launched to places we have never been before. Send us forward, O God, as a people, refueled, repurposed, and reconfigured by the greatest power ever known, that of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. Would you stand? Would you sing? Would you respond as you feel so led at this time? Ourselves some church today, didn't we? Hold fast, dear people, for as wonderful it is has been today to be together and to proclaim Christ has risen, he is risen indeed. The best is yet to come. So now, with this spoken benediction to a people repulled, repurposed, reconfigured, I send you out into the great unknown, knowing that Jesus Christ goes before you and walks beside you every step of your journey. Amen?